Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sustainability as Strategy, a podcast brought to you by the experts at Roland Berger Americas. I'm your host, Sean McMahon, and today I'm joined by Philip Leidiger. Philip, how are you doing today?
Very well. Pleasure to meet you, Sean.
It's great to meet you. Why don't you start things off here by telling us a little bit more about your role and what you do for Roland Berger Americas?
Yeah. As a senior partner and head of Digital North America, I work on the digital platform and I speak to our clients in the manufacturing space, in electricity and utilities, in consumer goods, in many other industries, how digital technologies and digital platforms can help support them achieve their strategic goals as a company.
Okay, we're here to talk about sustainability. And among the topics today will be the vibe shift that people are sensing in 2025, what works, what's practical, and what people are doing in the marketplace to increase their profitability. So, Philip, I'll throw it to you. What are some of the things you're seeing from your clients and others when it comes to sustainability?
I think that's a great question. And the topic of sustainability and digital transformation is very close to my heart because in my prior experience, before taking this role at Roland Berger, I was an executive myself leading the transformation of a hard-to-abate industry and trying to figure out how digital topics, how artificial intelligence, how data can help in our own net zero journey and in working through the sustainability issues of our industry. And one of the things that we're seeing is that the picture of our targets and how we want to achieve them has changed significantly in 2025. I think there are many high-level ambitions that we were thinking around in previous years, which are off the radar right now. But at the same time, I feel that there's a lot of stuff that should still be done. And that's mostly where sustainability and digital topics meet short-term profitability targets that our companies have. And I think there's a lot of potential for our clients and for the broader industry to embrace and take forward on.
Okay, so if you had to kind of separate those two things out, right? There's a vibe shift going on that is causing people to kind of reassess, their targets and their goals. But there's also some things that you're saying should still absolutely be done, full speed ahead. Let's, check those boxes. So what are some of those areas where companies can still just keep moving forward?
Yeah, I think especially around, hard to abate industries, but also in a lot of consumer facing industries, there's still a massive need by clients and customers and stakeholder groups to show that you're making progress. And a lot of that essentially means that there is demand in the market to see people advance the topic, to differentiate around this, and to potentially grab some short-term opportunities to address further customer needs, become closer to your customers' perceptions and expectations, but also to streamline the business overall. I feel like what we're discussing today is a lot around being more on time with the products that we deliver, being more on spot with meeting our customers' demand, being, more closely aligned on energy consumption or on logistics. And a lot of these topics hit the bottom line. They have immediate cash impact. They're, very well versed in the discussion that we're having in 2025. But they also meet sustainability requirements from key stakeholder groups. Those could be the customers directly, especially when they come from segments which are very much attuned to sustainability requests. Those could be from the broader stakeholder community, investors, activist investors, NGOs, but also just the communities around you who expect a better treatment of the environment, a more thought to sustainability than ever before, despite essentially the current political considerations. Digital technologies can help with all of these topics. They can help make us more efficient. They can help make us meet our customer demands in a better way. And they can also help us explain what we're doing around sustainability topics to all our stakeholders.
Now, you mentioned energy, right? And obviously, energy's made a lot of headlines lately. A lot of it focused on AI, and everyone's talking about, data centers and demand on the grid. But companies across the board are going to have to deal with competing for energy sources. So what are some digital tools that companies can use to, make sure they're getting the most out of their access to the grid?
Yeah, I think that's a super exciting question. And we're going to see, as we roll out more renewable energy sources, that the makeup of the grid is going to change, and potentially price points across the grid are going to change simply because there's going to be more fluctuation of energy availability. And something that I've worked on specifically on topics like these is how to make your energy consumption more data-driven, more flexible, in order to match the availability of energy going forward. You can imagine that many of our industrial clients, many of our automotive clients are looking at really energy consumption as a efficiency lever where they want to source it for the cheapest possible way going forward. And there is a trade-off between, you know, price points and time flexibility. So understanding when energy is cheap, understanding what can be done with it at a certain point in time, and understanding essentially how to make best use of this new energy environment could be critical for them. At the same time, same is true for the utility sector, right? You essentially want to, you know, use new pricing tools, new pricing mechanisms. Once you understand your demand, once you understand your supply curve and how it's changing due to AI power consumption, but also due to the onboarding of renewables and fixed grid capacity. And again, if you think about that, it's all about understanding the data of what your network looks like and understanding how you can translate that data to actionable decisions in your sales force or essentially on your supply side as good and as granular as possible.
So part of this is kind of explaining the story, you know, of evergreen solutions and digital technologies. So, you know, at what point do you see things reaching a tipping point where there's a story about sustainability, but then there's also the profitability side of it? And that story becomes, hey, there's a green premium here that's worth paying. So what are you hearing from the marketplace in terms of when companies accept that green premium and just understand it's going to be good for their long-term profitability?
So we really see this as two trends going forward. The first one is what we're talking about here, you know, being better in tune with your customers, matching supply and demand better, is actually, first of all, a cost down function. If I understand supply and demand more granular, more real time, and more flexible to act on that, I can actually find opportunities to have the same price points and volumes at lower cost. But you're completely right. Because I'm doing this in a more efficient, maybe more energy efficient way, maybe more waste-free way, maybe not as much logistics and supply chain hiccups, I can actually also sell this as a premium product, which essentially meets, you know, higher sustainability requirements, lower waste levels than any other product that I've sold before. And one way to think about this and one way to translate this into the market is to really have the production data and the granular data on what actually went into these products as part of your overall proposition so that customers can see maybe on a digital ticket or maybe as part of a proposition in the end consumer market. If you think about some of these high-end clothing brands that are emerging and that are grabbing market share, maybe some customers can see that the efforts that we're doing to reduce waste, to become more energy efficient, can really translate into a greener product and should thus demand a green premium when it comes to pricing, whether it's in the B2B market through some digital ticket showing essentially the end data, the end specifications of how the product was produced, or whether it's in B2C where it might associate with some premium brands, maybe in lifestyle clothing or maybe in agricultural products.
Okay, so supply chain is huge, right? Eliminating inefficiencies in the supply chain is everyone's goal. So what are some of the opportunities there in terms of using these solutions to not only, I guess you'd say, identify the inefficiencies, because obviously that comes first. If you don't know where you're being inefficient, you can't improve it, but also then taking that data and developing new systems and new protocols to, you know, get closer and closer to running a business with 0% waste.
Absolutely. I think the supply chain topic obviously has been a core topic for the digital consultant and digital expertise for a long time. We want to understand in an AI-driven way the demand, maybe the granular demand per zip code or per warehouse or per lane. We want to understand the network optimization, maybe of a factory footprint. We want to understand how we're shipping. We want to understand whether we're doing that at optimal costs, maybe procuring logistics or warehousing capacity on spot markets or 3D tendering. There is a plethora of tools already out there, but so far, we've been mostly looking at them as an opportunity to reduce overall costs, maybe gain overall flexibility, essentially restructure our supply chain from a purely business-driven focus. And what we're now seeing is that the same tools can be used to reduce waste, to calculate the environmental impact of certain products, and to probably showcase which product lines could have a green premium. So we're utilizing the same tools, we're utilizing the same amount of data, we're essentially already there when it comes to the analytics that we're looking for and the change management that we have to work on with our teams, but we're adding that extra lens. We're adding a lens where we say, how difficult would it be to really come down to zero waste and to communicate and prove that in the data? How difficult would it be to take two different supply chains with different CO2 levels and kind of differentiate essentially that product in the marketplace on two different price points, kind of execute on a green premium towards customer segments that are willing to pay that? So I feel that supply chain topic is very close to what is actionable today, what is actionable right now, because we've invested so much into more data-driven analytics. And now it's really about adding sustainability from a business lens on top of that and seeing the value that sustainability can create for us.
All right. Now, can I ask you to share a couple of examples? You know, what are a few of the solutions, be it digital or otherwise, that help eliminate supply chain inefficiencies?
Yeah, let me just share a couple of interesting ideas. One of the big ideas is circularity and essentially how waste can be returned essentially into our productivity cycle. And you can see this in a lot of areas, whether it's consumer electronics, scrap metals, maybe for aluminium, building materials, which is actually the largest source for landfill here in the US, or potentially food waste. And you can see how digital solutions have helped us address those issues and see these sources of waste as feedstocks, which feed back into, you know, the supply chains. They're now big companies who are set up on the idea of collecting scrap metal and kind of, you know, recasting that as new or quite recycled metal products. Food waste has been transferred into business models around Too Good To Go, kind of sell this to consumers who are interested in buying perfectly fine food at a reduced price point. We have this in building materials where we used to fill all those landfills with concrete or timber and lots of other things we took out of buildings, and new business models emerge, especially around large cities, where we recast building materials and reintegrate them into the cities as we build them. So there are many of these opportunities where you think about identifying where these waste sources come from, logging them, making sure that they're traceable across the supply chain so that it's clear that this is a recycled product and what's in there, and then essentially reselling them potentially under a new brand, a recycled brand, is part of a market proposition that we can take to fully appreciate all the different opportunities that exist in the market and attract and market to other market segments. But it's also interesting to see how, you know, coming from an individual proposition, you can really extend into, you know, answering different questions for your clients. In my executive role, I was in the building material space where we were selling green concrete, for example, to large universities, to large centers of education. And once they appreciated the fact that we were able to deliver a more sustainable product and the data sources behind that, they decided to ask additional questions. They wanted to understand, you know, where these building materials were coming from geographically. For example, because there might be sanctions in place to specific countries, they would be asking what kind of communities were part of the creation process of these building materials. So you can really enter a discussion with your customers where in the beginning you're only speaking about maybe a greener concrete CO2 ticket on this, and then you're opening up to a more holistic discussion around how these customers could be served and what other needs can be satisfied at new price points. So I think there's a lot of potential of, you know, really working with customers around these opportunities and how digital tickets and digital information can help them create new ways to satisfy their needs.
And now you mentioned circularity and a lot of companies kind of just rethinking their operations to reduce waste. So I want to ask you, is that individual companies you're seeing do that more often, or how much industry collaboration is there across companies, be it, you know, within a given sector or whatever, Are companies coming together on initiatives like that, or is it still kind of each company on their own doing it?
So I think there are two things which are really interesting. There are industry collaborations which are happening where we're talking about specific standards or sharing essentially waste materials. But another thing that I find fascinating is that there are also a lot of geographic alliances that major cities are moving forward, bringing together industry leaders in their specific geographies and thinking through what this could mean. Just as a shout out, the city of New York obviously has a huge opportunity on circularity. And at the same time, they feel strongly about revitalizing the manufacturing opportunities in upstate New York. They have the Hudson River, which connects these two on a relatively price-effective way of providing logistics, and thinking about how essentially upcycling and recycling could be done in the state of New York to support the city is a fascinating vision that city leaders are executing that I can see is a massive opportunity for many manufacturing companies who are selling into the city of New York.
And now we open the show by talking about the vibe shift in 2025. So any chance that vibe shifts a little bit, less collaboration, companies pull back? Is that a concern you have? You and the team at Rollenberger might have to be having more separate conversations with individual clients instead of just industry-wide collaboration.
I don't think it's going to be about this. I think what it's going to be, we're going to see different ideas being put forward. We've had a lot of long-term visions in the last couple of years, which essentially were dependent on massive regulation or massive federal grants in order to be executed. If you think about, let's say, carbon capture and storage, those are business models which only make sense for very select industries without further governmental support. And maybe the same ambition to do something around sustainability is shifting from these topics to topics which are more pragmatic, which are more things we can do right now. And I feel that deregulation and more focus on digital platforms by the regulation is going to help a lot of new ideas coming in. As an example, there are initiatives which require all building materials in several US states to have digital tickets uploaded to platforms that are operated by the states. This is also for law enforcement officers when they're on the roads, tracking and checking in on different transportation vehicles. It can align and testify what is supposed to be in these vehicles. And going down such a route and making these data sources essentially part of the common resource of a geography like a US state allows new business models to spring up that can help reduce waste, find new opportunities to use building materials that are no longer used at a specific point to be transferred to some other location, or just have more understanding of who would be the best suppliers for a specific construction site, given, you know, maybe availability of product or distance to the site and any other reasonings that you could have.
So you're saying we're going to see more uptake of these solutions. Is that what you're seeing in the next rest of this year, maybe into 2026?
I believe these pragmatic short-term ideas are going to be more successful right now. And I think there's more appetite by companies to walk into that direction, because it's not only about the sustainability topic in something like this, it's also just about the short-term efficiency gains, the short-term bottom-line impacts that we're going to have. And, you know, companies still know that we'll have to address these issues a couple of years down the road, right? This vibe shift might be very significant right now, but we do see that there is a real scenario that things might swing back in a couple of years. And businesses are well-versed to keep up the pressure and do things around sustainability that are important right now, that are profitable right now, in order to be prepared and to have a story also in a couple of years when potentially things switch back. So for them, it's all about optionality. It's all about thinking in scenarios. And in many scenarios we could set up for the future, in maybe just 5 years' time, we would be having a different discussion and people would ask, who has been following up with something that's so important despite, you know, a current political climate?
Okay, well, that segues perfectly to my last question, and we'll close with this. What advice would you give to business leaders from really any industry who might be on the precipice of making some kind of investment in sustainability solutions, but are perhaps concerned about profitability risks or the political landscape, regulatory uncertainty? What would you say to the executives in that position?
First of all, I would say do the right thing and do continue with your thinking on making sustainability a core tenet of your strategy going forward. But also do the smart thing and do something that shows profitability right now, that shows an opportunity to success right now. And something that I found interesting speaking to many people who are working on the sustainability front as we speak, they say, look, a lot of the stuff that we were talking about is a sustainability topic, but it can also be reframed as an efficiency topic. And those are the right sweet spots right now where you can show traction, you can get things done, you can meet your current targets, and you can still be best positioned for any potential future.
Well, that sounds like excellent advice, Philip. I really appreciate your insights today. Thank you for sharing your time with me and our listeners.
Sean, thanks for having me.